The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the August 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to start with Who's Who, page 8, and the bottom section. First, we have Casey Miles, a pitcher from Auburn University. His height is 6'3". His weight is 220 pounds. He was born May 1st, 1997 in Birmingham, Alabama. As a junior, Miles went 10-6 with a 3.30 ERA and 114 and two-thirds innings pitched to help Auburn make the Super Regional round of the 2018 NCAA tournament. Shortly before the Tigers' postseason run ended, the Detroit Tigers selected him as the top pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Baseball America named the right-handed Mize a first-team All-America this year. He was also a finalist for two of the top awards in amateur baseball, the Golden Spikes Award and the Dick Howser Trophy. Question, which team has won the most College World Series titles? Do, 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 do. The answer? University of Southern California. They've won 12. Haley Moore, golfer, Arizona. Her height is 5'11". She was born December 24, 1998, in Crystal Lake, Illinois. After her match with Alabama's Laker Barber Abe ended in a tie, Moore, a junior, birdied to win a sudden-death playoff and give the Wildcats a 3-2 edge over the Tide for the 2018 NCAA title. Moore had the lowest average 18-hole score for the Wildcats in 2017 and 18, 72.2, and won a team-best two tournaments, the Golf Week Conference Challenge last September and the Hawkeye L. Tiger International in March. She was the Pac-12 Golfer of the Month as a sophomore in February 2017. Question, what is the name of the top women's professional golf tour in the United States? Do 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 Answer, the LPGA Tour. And finally, Clay Thompson, shooting guard, Golden State Warriors. His height is 6'7". His weight is 215 pounds. He was born February 8, 1990, Los Angeles, California. During the 2017-2018 postseason, Thompson led all players in three-pointers with 67, helping the Warriors win their third NBA championship in 4 years. He made his fourth consecutive All-Star game and led Golden State in three-pointers during the regular season, 229, averaging 20 points per game, third on the team. Thompson left Washington State as the program's all-time leader in threes, 242, now second, and is third in career points, 1,756. Question, which teammate of Thompson's was MVP of the 2018 NBA Finals? Do, 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 do. Answer, Kevin Durant. Continuing on page 34 with my first, time I landed a 1080, Chloe Kim, snowboarder. I was 14 when I landed my first 1080. I was training with my team in Mammoth Mountain in California. It was sunny but cold, of course. I'd been working on the move for about 2 days. Nothing was really holding me back. I'd get the rotation, but I couldn't land it. I was pretty stoked when I did it. It came pretty easily, which was nice. I kept doing it that day until I got tired, and then I went home and took a nap. It took me about a week until I was landing them like it was no big deal. I have a love-hate relationship with the move today, but I think most relationships are like that, if you know what I mean. Home run. Aaron Judge, New York Yankees outfielder. My first home run. Before that, let's get a quick bio of Chloe Kim, the snowboarder. She's an Olympic half-pipe gold medalist in 2018, first woman to land back-to-back 1080s. Now back to Aaron Judge. Quick bio. In 2017, American League Rookie of the Year and American League Home Run Leader. He had 52. Well, his first home run was in T-ball when I was 6, playing for the Linden Little League in California. I had 2 center field, past all the little defenders. There was no fence, so I just kept running because no one got the ball. We were all little kids having fun, so I think they were more excited, like, who's up next? And that's all they were paying attention to. Next, we have Odell Beckham Jr., New York Giants receiver. Touchdown dance. In high school, I didn't really celebrate because it was frowned upon. In college, you couldn't really do it either. Until I got to the league and I had a little freedom, I wasn't really celebrating. The first time I scored in the NFL, I remember doing the whip, throwing the penalty flag up and doing the whip again, and it just kind of became a thing that I was going to celebrate when I scored. Quick bio. Odell Beckham is a 3-time Pro Bowler. Continuing the first. High five, Dusty Baker and Glenn Burke, October 2, 1977. Though there isn't a consensus on the exact origin of this celebratory gesture, one possibility involves Baker and Burke, teammates on the playoff-bound Los Angeles Dodgers. In the bottom of the 6th inning of the final game of the regular season, Baker hit his 30th home run of the year, the second homer of the inning. Burke, the rookie outfielder who was on deck, put his hand out after Baker crossed home plate, and Baker slapped it. His hand was up in the air, and he was reaching way back, Baker told ESPN years later. So I reached up and hit his hand. It seemed like the right thing to do. Burke then stepped to the plate and hit his first major league home run, after which he supposedly received a high five from Baker. The 3 solo shots weren't enough to give Los Angeles the win. The Dodgers lost the game 6-3, but forever changed the way we celebrate. Perfect game of the century. Cy Young, May 5, 1904. 2 National League hurlers had tossed perfect game before Young threw his for the American League's Boston Americans, a 3-0 home victory over the Philadelphia Athletics in front of 10,300 fans. Young's remarkable exhibition of ball playing, as one newspaper put it, has only been matched 20 times in the 114 years since. Repeat Indianapolis 500 winner. Tommy Milton, 1921-1923. In May 1923, Milton set a qualifying speed record at Indy, earning the pole after clocking 108.17 miles per hour. Then, in front of 150,000 spectators, the greatest throng that ever witnessed a sporting event in America, as the Associated Press reported, he became the first driver to take the checkered flag twice since the race's inception in 2011. First and only Grand Slam winners in tennis. Don Budge, 1938, and Maureen Connolly in 1953. Budge swept the tournaments now known as the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the United States Open. Fellow American Connolly later became the first woman to complete that feat. Only one other man and 2 other women have won the slam in a calendar year. Triple crown winner in horse racing, Sir Barton in 1919. He had never won a race when he crossed the finish line first at the 1919 Kentucky Derby. Less than 5 weeks later, Sir Barton had also won the Preakness in Maryland and the Belmont Stakes in New York, setting a new American record on a fast track in the latter to 17 2/3. 11 years later, when Gallant Fox also swept the prestigious races for three-year-old thoroughbreds, sports writers began to regularly use the term Triple Crown, which has since been won by 11 other horses. Three-pointer, Chris Ford, Boston Celtics, 1979. The NBA only adopted the shot, an American Basketball Association staple, since 1967, on a one-year trial basis in 1979. Ford drained the first one. "I don't just come down and fire it up," he said at the time. "My coach has confidence in me to pick my spots, and so does the team." Ford finished third in threes that season with 70. Steph Curry set the current NBA single-season record in 2015-2016 with 402. Triple Crown winner in baseball, Paul Hines, 1878. It's a pretty big deal when, these days, if a player leads his league in batting average, home runs, and RBIs. When Miguel Cabrera did it with the Tigers in 2012, he was the first to accomplish it in 45 years. Hines, playing for the Providence Grays, did it first, batting .358 with 50 RBIs and, wait for it, 4 home runs. And we're still waiting. Feats in sports yet to be accomplished. 300 yards rushing in an NFL game. Closest, Adrian Peterson, 296 in 2007. 10 three-pointers in a WNBA game. Closest, Christy Tolliver, 9 in 2017. 5 home runs in a Major League Baseball game. Closest, 16 players have hit 4. Most recently, J.D. Martinez in September 2017. Golden Slam, Steffi Graf, first and only. In 1998, singles champion at the Australian Open, French Open, Wimbledon, the United States Open, and the Olympics. Two-time Heisman Trophy winner, Archie Griffin, Ohio State running back, 1974 and 1975. Driver to win the Daytona 500, 1967, Indianapolis, 1969, and Formula One World Championship, 1978, Mario Andretti. 100-point NBA game, Wilt Chamberlain, March 2, 1962, and a 169-147 win for his Philadelphia Warriors over the New York Knicks. Pitcher to win the Cy Young Award and Rookie of the Year in the same season, Fernando Valenzuela, 1981, with the Los Angeles Dodgers. NFL quarterback to rush for 1,000 yards and pass for 1,000 yards in a season, Michael Vick, 2006, with the Falcons. 7 goals in an NHL game, Joe Malone, January 31st, 1920, in a 10-6 win for his Quebec Bulldogs over the Toronto St. Patrick, and 64-yard field goal, Mac Prater, December 8, 2013, in a 51-28 win for his Denver Broncos over the Tennessee Titans. And we're still waiting for 900 career NHL goals. Closest, Wayne Gretzky, 894. We're still waiting for 6 goals in a World Cup match. Closest, Michelle Akers, 5 in 1991, and Oleg Salenko, 5 in 1994. Still waiting? A 2-hour marathon. Closest, Dennis Kometo, 2 hours, 2 minutes, 57 seconds in 2014. And finally, a women's 100-meter dash in under 10 seconds. Closest, Florence Griffith Joyner, 10.49 seconds in 1998. Okay, a super quick fantasy football guide. We've dashed off everything you need to know before assembling your fantasy draft board. Sleepers. Steal these guys in the later rounds of your draft. Alex Smith, Washington Redskins. Surprisingly, Smith was the fourth highest scoring fantasy quarterback in standard scoring leagues last season. On the Chiefs, his new team lacked a number one receiver, but Smith often dealt with a similar situation in Kansas City and never failed to break the 3,200-yard mark. Derek Carr, Oakland Raiders. To put things light, 2017 was a disappointing season for Carr, whose numbers nosedived as Oakland went 6-10. However, the addition of quarterback guru John Gruden at head coach, as well as wide receivers Jordy Nelson and Martavis Bryant, will give Carr every opportunity to thrive. Running back Kenyon Drake, Miami Dolphins. Following the October trade of Jay Ajayi, Drake picked up 619 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns in the Dolphins' final 9 games. While those numbers don't jump off the page, quarterback Ryan Tannehill's return should open up the field and create more running lanes. Rustin Ekeler, Los Angeles Chargers. He's a running back. Although Melvin Gordon is the undisputed number one back in L.A., Ekeler averaged a strong 5.5 yards per carry and figures to be the team's primary third down back. He'll vulture a few touchdowns and is worth stashing on your bench in case Gordon goes down with an injury. Wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, San Francisco 49ers. Goodwin, above, had the best 3-game stretch of his career with Jimmy Garoppolo on the helm. Both are under 28 years old, meaning that Garoppolo and Goodwin could be one of the league's top quarterback wide receiver duos for years to come. Wide receiver Allen Hurns, Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys' receiving core underwent a massive makeover this offseason. Dez Bryant was released, Jason Witten retired, and Hurns and Tavon Austin were added. Hurns is the best bet to benefit from the overhaul after posting a career-best 69.6% catch rate in 2017. Tight end, Benjamin Watson, New Orleans Saints. After a so-so stint with the Ravens, Watson returns to New Orleans 2 years after having the best season of his career with the Saints. Given Kobe Fleener's release and Josh Hill's inconsistency, Watson figures to be the primary tight end for one of the most prolific offenses in football. Tight end, Austin Hooper, Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons' offense took a step back last season after leading the NFL in scoring in 2016. It was an uncharacteristic year for Matt Ryan, but Hooper showed flashes of potential and might be poised for a big leap forward if Ryan returns to form. Players to avoid. Quarterback Tyrod Taylor, Cleveland Browns. The Browns' revamped receiving core might be enticing at first glance, but it's full of question marks, and fans will clamor for Baker Mayfield at the first sign of Taylor struggling. Running back C.J. Anderson, Carolina Panthers. Despite rushing for 1,000 yards in Denver last season, Anderson is a risky pick. Christian McCaffrey is clearly the lead back in Carolina and will be relied on much more in passing situations. Running back Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans. DeMarco Murray's departure made Henry Wright a more attractive fantasy asset, but Deion Lewis sent that stock right back down when he signed with Tennessee in March. Wide receiver Michael Crabtree, Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens have had just one 1,000-yard receiver in the last 3 seasons, and Joe Flacco is only getting older. Crabtree also took a step back last season. Tight end Jack Doyle, Indianapolis Colts. Doyle set a career high in receiving yards, 690 last season, and will benefit from the return of Andrew Luck. But Eric Ebron figures to be the primary tight end. Rookies with potential. Quarterback Sam Darnold, New York Jets. Josh McGowan and Teddy Bridgewater are also competing for the starting job, but neither has the ceiling of Darnold, making him a good candidate to emerge as the Week 1 starter. Running back Saquon Barkley, New York Giants. Perhaps the most talented player of the draft, Barkley below, will receive the keys to the Giants' backfield and should impress early. Running back Rashard Penny, Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks haven't had sustained success at running back since Marshawn Lynch left town 3 years ago. Penny could change that, especially with how well Russell Wilson works off the play action. Wide receiver Christian Kirk, Arizona Cardinals. Arizona's second and fourth leading wide receivers in targets from last season are no longer with the team. Kirk figures to be the number two option behind Larry Fitzgerald. Tight end Dallas Goedert, Philadelphia Eagles. Although Zach Ertz remains the lead tight end, the departures of Trey Burton and Brent Celek open up a window for opportunity. Breakout candidates. Look for these players to become household names this season. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs traded incumbent starting quarterback Alex Smith to clear the way for Mahomes on the left to take over the offense. A first-round pick in 2017, Mahomes has impressed scouts with his strong arm and quick release. Quarterback A.J. McCarron, Buffalo Bills. After 4 years backing up Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, McCarron is finally getting his chance. Rookie quarterback Josh Allen is considered a raw talent who needs time to develop, so McCarron's job should be safe throughout the year. Running back, Corey Clement, Philadelphia Eagles. Clement has the potential to be a PPR gem, providing the Eagles with a dynamic screen option out of the backfield. His 100-yard receiving performance in the Super Bowl turned some heads. It might have only been a glimpse of what the young back can do. Running back Joe Mixon, Cincinnati Bengals. Heralded as one of the top running backs coming out of the 2017 draft, Mixon struggled to live up to the hype. He's a good bet to have a breakthrough year. However, he played much better when lead back Jeremy Hill missed time with injury. Hill is now a Patriot, clearing room for Mixon to take an increased role. Wide receiver Bruce Ellington, Houston Texans. Someone has to line up opposite DeAndre Hopkins in Houston's offense, and Will Fuller wasn't able to take advantage of the opportunity last season. Ellington has emerged as an elusive receiver with dependable hands, which could lead to him becoming one of Deshaun Watson's favorite targets. Wide receiver Mike Williams, Los Angeles Chargers. Another first-round pick disappointed in his rookie season, Williams battled knee and back injuries and caught just 11 passes all year. He'll return with a clean bill of health, and he should get favorable matchups, with Keenan Allen attracting most of the attention from opponents' secondaries. Tight end Trey Burton, Chicago Bears. He never had a major role in the Eagles' offense, but Burton will be the primary tight end for Chicago and poses an immense red zone threat. Fresh off signing a four-year, $32 million deal with the Bears, Burton will have the added incentive to prove he's worth the money. And finally, Jake Butt, Denver Broncos. After sitting out his entire rookie season with an ACL injury, Butt is finally ready to compete and will be inserted into an offense that just added Case Keenum at quarterback. Butt set several program records during his time at Michigan, and he looks healthy heading into the season. If the Broncos' offense returns to form, Butt will likely be playing a major role in it. League manager, getting some friends together to play? We're here to help. Standards or PPR? There are two common ways league scoring can be set, standard or PPR, points per reception. Points per reception leagues award 1 point per catch made by receivers, tight ends, and running back. This adds more value to those positions than standard leagues, which only allow skilled players to gain points by accumulating yards and crossing the goal line. Number two, snake or auction. Most fantasy drafts follow a snake format, in which the draft order flips each round to give every team a fair shot at building a balanced roster. In auction drafts, each team is given a certain amount of money to bid on players to fill out a roster. Number three, the waiver wire. While some owners may find it annoying to have to wait a few days before being able to pick up players, The waiver wire serves an important purpose. It gives every team a fair chance to claim new players, assigning waiver priority based on how long it's been since an owner last picked up a player. Without waivers, the player pool becomes a free-for-all. And finally, number four, two starting QB. Many fantasy football websites give you the option to add a second starting quarterback slot on team rosters. This can provide owners with an additional challenge of needing to sort through the lower tiers of quarterbacks, a good test of their football knowledge. Pages 42 and 43, what makes a fan favorite? Not all athletes are equally beloved. We tried to figure out why some players are so easy to root for. Not everyone picks the most talented member of the home team to be his or her favorite player. Sometimes an entire town will rally around the 15th best player on the field. Why? It's complicated. Putting up big numbers helps, but is not necessary. Occasionally, a player's blundering will only add to his or her appeal. New York loved the 1962 Mets team that set a modern era record with 120 losses. We attempted to break down exactly what makes certain athletes so beloved. After examining some of the most popular players of all time, four common traits emerged: talent, a magnetic personality, a compelling backstory, and an unusual physique. Many pros are really pretty similar. They spend their whole lives practicing. They break into the big leagues around the same age, and they're trained to give the same boring answer to interview questions. As a result, fans latch on to any athlete who seems different. It's no wonder, then, that these players who have distinguished themselves in more than one way have legions of admirers. Jose Altuve, Houston Astros. Listed at 5'6", Altuve is about 8 inches shorter than the average Major League Baseball player. At one point, he was even too short for the Astros, who turned away a young Altuve from a tryout. The second baseman persisted, however, and Houston signed him as a 16-year-old for $15,000. His subsequent emergence as an MVP and World Series champion has been an inspiration. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Let's talk about you and all the wonderful things that you and I can do. I popped some cash in a little bit of time. I showed some cash, then the girl was mine. I took her over town, I wined her and dined her. She asked me, did I like her? I said, well, kinda. All of a sudden, she jumped out of seat, snatched me up by my wrist and took me out in the street. She started grabbing all over me, kissing and hugging, so I shoved her away. I said, you better stop bugging. She got mad, looked me dead in my face, threw her hands in the air and